I am not going to make any announcements today. I'm just going to encourage you to read the back of the bulletin, and there may be something there that applies to you. Our text this morning, I'm following the epistle lessons in the Common Lectionary, which has us in 1 John. And today the text is 1 John chapter 3. And I think the bulletin says I'm going to begin with verse 19, but I'm going to begin with verse 18 and read through 24. 1 John 3, 18 to 24. Hear the word of God. Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth, and reassure our heart before Him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and He knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do what pleases Him. And this is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as He has commanded us. Whoever keeps His commandments abides in God, and God abides in him. And by this we know that He abides in us, by the Spirit whom He has given us. The word of the Lord. Would you bow with me? God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A few weeks ago, I did some singing as part of my message, and the response was so overwhelming that I've decided to bless you with this again. Thank you. Yes. Well, you remember Hank Williams used to sing, "Your cheating heart will tell on you. You'll cry and cry the whole night through." Okay, I'm going to modify that just a little bit. "Your cheating heart will lie to you." Your heart will lie to you, and that's part of the theme. That's what I'm going to be focusing on in this text. John says, whenever our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts. Very well-known verse in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick." Other translations say desperately wicked. Who can understand it? Now, our cheating lion heart will lie to us in one of two ways. It'll either puff us up with pride and make us think we're better than others. That's not what John is addressing here. Here in this text, John is addressing the accusing heart. The heart that lies to us and says, "You're no good. God can't love you. You're of no use to Him. You have failed." Listen to it again, verses 19 and 20. "By this we shall know that we are of the truth, and reassure our hearts before Him. For whenever our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and He knows everything." when your heart condemns you with self-talk, and by the way, any good therapist will tell you to monitor your self-talk. What are the messages that you speak silently into your own life? Talk of self-hatred, condemnation of the self, feelings of worthlessness, of hopelessness, feelings that I've squandered my life, I'm inadequate. There's a whole lot of evil in the world that is the result of self-condemnation that then gets acted out toward others. I want to consider two words this morning that are not in the text, but that speak to self-accusation. The first word is failure. Failure. For some people, feelings of failure go all the way back to childhood, trying to live up to a parent's expectations. We fell short of hopes and dreams that others placed on us. Might have been also a teacher or a boss or even a minister. We heard messages, or maybe we misheard messages, that we interpreted as "you don't measure up." Have you ever heard the folk wisdom that you're only using 10% of your brain power? You ever heard that? It's bunk, by the way. It's nonsense. But everyone believes it. Why? We compare ourselves against some ideal standard that we've concocted for ourselves, and it exists only in our minds. And then we don't live up to that standard, and so we condemn ourselves. And by the way, there is an accuser that loves to either puff us up and inflate our ego, or the accuser likes to drag us down and accuse and accuse. The voice of accusation is never the voice of the Holy Spirit. The voice of the Holy Spirit will call you to repentance and back to the embrace of your Savior. But the voice of the Holy Spirit does not accuse, does not tear down. In fact, I think it's a therapeutic exercise every now and then to, you know how when you're in the line at the grocery store and you're looking at the magazine rack and all of the people on the covers of those magazines are absolutely perfect and beautiful. It's a good therapeutic exercise to look up from the magazines and look at the actual people who are all around you. Oh, whew, yeah, that's fake, this is real, right? Maybe there's a bad memory of an experience that you felt was a failure. When you were a kid trying to play sports, you were cut from the team, or you were rejected by the popular crowd, or you were left off the invitation list, or you were rejected by a friend that you value. Maybe you were let go from a job. And our hearts begin to condemn us. There's something wrong with me. Maybe you've experienced failure in your family that led to self-condemnation. Feeling inadequate as a husband or a wife. Maybe there's a failed marriage in your past. Maybe you felt inadequate as a parent or inadequate as a child to an older parent. We often feel like we're failures in our relationship with God, that God loved me and gifted me and gave the life of his son for me, but a self-condemning heart says, I don't love God enough. I don't serve him fully. He's given me spiritual gifts that go unused. My personal devotions are weak and infrequent. Self-accusation over and over again. So the first word I want you to think about is that accusation of failure. The second one is the accusation of defeat. This one might result from sinful habits, destructive behaviors, compulsive behaviors. You feel trapped in the same behavior over and over and over again. And we begin to question ourselves, why do I live so badly? We feel defeated. We feel it's our fault. Our hearts condemn us. And what's even worse is our own efforts to try to bear down and overcome self-condemnation can, those efforts can even be destructive. Inner condemnation wells up. We blame others. We get sick of ourselves and we lash out at others. And by the way, I am convinced that Pharisaism, judgmentalism, both ancient and modern, what the Pharisee, with the Pharisaic person, and we can all be one from time to time, can't we? What the judgmental person will never tell you is that the person they are most harshly judging is themselves. And then they lash out at others. So, what's the answer? John's answer is very clear. And it's interesting that John's antidote to self-condemnation, John's antidote does not try to distinguish between true and false guilt. He's not interested. Neither is John terribly interested in digging down to the root cause of our dysfunction. And I'm not saying that that can't ever be helpful. But right here, John's not terribly interested in that. The answer to a condemning heart, says the Apostle John, is to know that God is greater than our hearts. God overrules your puny little heart. God is greater. God is infinitely greater. And he overrules the self-talk of self-condemnation. The answer is to meditate on this, that you have a Savior who is greater, more powerful than that internal condemning voice. The answer is closer and closer union with the one who speaks his love to you from the inside. The one who loves you so much that he came into the world and gave his life on the cross for you. His voice is stronger and surer, more trustworthy, better than the voice of self-condemnation. The voice of self-condemnation is a lie. Period. As I told you earlier. Now I don't want to get into the place of blaming every self-condemnation on the evil one, because we can cook up a lot of self-condemnation on our own without any help from Satan. But do remember, he's the accuser, and Jesus called him a liar and the father of lies. He always lies. Once again, the crucial point is in verse 20. God is greater than our hearts, and John goes on, and he knows everything. God is not shocked by your failures. God is not shocked or put off by your defeats. God sees everything, knows everything about our lives, not shocked or put off, not repulsed. God sees the end of our story. God sees how we will be. God already looks on us, how we will be one day when we are transformed fully into the likeness of Jesus Christ. So the Christian life is learning to trust God, learning to trust God's evaluation of us more than we trust self-evaluation of us or the valuation of others toward us. The Christian life is learning to trust that God means what he says about us, that you are my child, nothing can separate you from my love, that he sent his son into the world for us. The Christian life is a journey of learning to trust that voice more than the inner voice of self-condemnation. In other words, to put it very simply, the answer to self-condemnation is the gospel. God so loved the world. God so loved you that he gave his only son, that whoever believed in him would not perish but would have everlasting life. Verses 21 to 23, I think, is one of the best short definitions of what it means to grow to maturity in Christ. Listen to it again. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he commanded. There's got to be more to it than that. Let me read it again, because that can't be complete. This is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded. No, it is that simple. It is that simple. Believe in the name of Jesus and love one another. That's the whole package. That's it. There's an amazing promise here, but we need to clarify it. What exactly is John saying when he says, whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him? Now notice, receiving what we ask is not linked to obedience. It's not that we earn points with God by our obedience and then cha-ching, we get what we ask from heaven. No, obedience shapes our asking. Obedient prayer assumes that we ask only for what God has promised. As we grow in faith, we don't ask for things that God has not promised. And God will give what he has promised. Remember, I'm going to sing again. Remember Janis Joplin? Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz. My friends all drive Porsches, I must make amends. That was a funny song, but God never promised you a Mercedes-Benz. God has promised you the gift of His Son and new life in Him and eternal life in Christ. A condemning heart, that voice of inner condemnation can only be drowned out by a stronger voice. You can't do it. Listen to the voice of your Savior. Listen to the voice of God. God is love. God is greater than your past. God is greater than your discouragement or your pain. God is greater than your anger or your doubt or your fear. God is greater than your shame, greater than your scars. When our hearts condemn us, and they will, remember, God is greater. Amen. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the voice that you spoke into all the world, your powerful, mighty voice that became flesh. The Word became flesh and lived among us, full of grace and truth, to call us to yourself, to assure us that we belong to you. God, I pray for each one here. By your Holy Spirit, Father, drown out the voice of self-condemnation. And when we hear that voice, prompt us to turn to you, for you're greater. You are greater. And we thank you in the precious name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen.